Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay, people, it's a grassy world. We're back. It's been a longer than expected break, but we are here because there was never a question we were coming back. Degrads, let's see if we remember how to do this. I know it's a Degrassi Rewatch podcast. I do know that. And I am one of your hosts, Shane Warren Kipple, Gavin Spinner Mason.
I am Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogarth.
Yes, you are. And yes, I am.
It has been so long. You're looking good, man.
Thank you, buddy.
How you been these last few weeks?
I've been good. Tennessee was a lot of fun.
Cool, yeah.
Got a little rowdy at times, but it was a lot of fun. Met some cool new people.
Wait, you can't just skip over the rowdy part.
Oh, I can. I can. If you
how
know
were the
me.
Fans? Like, how was everybody?
They were great. And I had a lot of people that saw me the first time I went to Tennessee with Melissa and Pat come back. Some wanted more souvenirs and some just came to show some love and say hi. And you were missed. Many, many people were like, I thought this guy was coming.
I know. I'm so sorry about that. I had an opportunity out west. Actually, I spent a week on set and I can talk about it because it's officially announced. I was shadowing a director on Heartland.
Yep.
Canada's horse show. Canada's Yellowstone. That's right. Yeah. And they're going into season 20. Very exciting. But my wife, I'm not sure if anybody knows, my wife Mika is a screenwriter and she's been working on that show for the last few seasons. And so I had an opportunity to go out there and hang out on set and, you know, just learn from the director. And actually feels like a second family being on set. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I do.
But it's like, you know, when you're an actor on set, that's sort of the point of view that you're coming at it from. And you're really just focused on bringing your character to life and working with the other actors. So this was a totally different brain. I took off my actor hat and I put it on a shelf and I put on my director hat. And I got to see everything from a totally different perspective, which was really, really cool.
Nice. You've never shadowed a director on set before?
No. First time.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And I don't know why I was telling everybody, I could swear, and it's obviously on me, that you said you were going back to Greece to shadow a director. So I told everyone who asked why you had to cancel, Mike had to accept an award in Toronto, obviously, and then he's going back to Greece to do something cool I'm not really allowed to tell you about. And you made a liar out of me, or I made
I'm
one
sorry.
Out of myself.
But. Yeah, no, Greece was March, and yeah, no, I'm not obsessed with Greece. I wish I was back in Greece. I mean, what a beautiful place. But no, and thanks for mentioning the award. We were nominated for a few CSAs for the documentary, for Don't Come Upstairs. We were nominated for Best Writing for Documentary, Best Cinematography, and Best Sound. So I was there, but that was in Toronto, and then I flew out literally the next morning because I like to book flights after award shows, because if you lose, you'd be like, well, at least I'm getting up early and getting on a plane and going somewhere else and doing something else tomorrow. It just like it takes the sting out a little bit, you know, so that I did. But yeah,
let me tell you really quickly, when I was nominated for my Gemini for Degrassi, you get one guest that you could bring along with you then you can ask for more, but you have to pay for those seats. And it was
still the same. Still
yes, but it was a once in a lifetime moment. I was very excited about it. My parents had been divorced, had a very messy divorce too, but I wanted them both there. Okay. I also brought the girl I was dating at the time, but then like someone has to babysit my parents to make sure that they haven't been in the same room for quite a while now. So I had my best friend on one side, my girlfriend on the other side, my mom next to my girlfriend, and my dad next to my best friend to keep them.
Oh, that's pretty good. Insulated.
It was a decent layout and everyone got along. Everyone was having a good time. My award came up first. My category came up first for the entire night, which is a 3-hour night. And it got rattled off so quickly. I was there with Linda and Steven, other nominees in the category, Lauren Adamo, Alex Johnson from Instant Star, I believe Michael Cedar or Ashley Leggett from Life with Derek. Mm-hmm. And I lost to Alex. And then we moved on. So I had to sit there for 3 hours, just like everyone's trying to talk to me. It's like I'm processing everything underwater. And I had these visions of like, you know, accepting this award. And then afterwards, me going out with my girlfriend and my friend, like downtown, drunkenly getting kicked out of bars, holding the Gemini. Like, do you know?
I know. That's my fantasy too. Like my first fantasy with the CSA was like, I'm going to ride the subway home with this thing on my lap. That's going to be the, you know, like I just, it's weird things. But I have the opposite thing where the build up to the category is the most agonizing thing ever. I can't stand it. Like I actually get to the point where I start like hyperventilating and I have to like, time slows down, I go into Jell-O because I don't want to get up on stage in front of everybody. Like I feel like I'm super awkward just generally at accepting any kind of praise to begin with. I deflect. So the idea of having to go up,
Mike.
So the idea of going, the idea of going up on stage in front of people and having to accept something like that is terrifying to me. And I'm also terrified that I'm going to forget someone and I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings and I'm going to screw it up and I'm going to do it wrong. And so I had a lot of pressure. And the second I lost, I was like, oh, thank God, I don't have to go up. But we won. Being nominated is a win. That's amazing. And I got to hang out with friends. And
I'm getting flashbacks of Tropic Thunder. They're like, for Simple Jack, you should have won an Oscar. He's like, oh, well, just to be nominated. You got nomination? No. I'm saying that just to have been nominated would have been great.
Would have been. Amazing. Well, listen. We've kept the fans waiting long enough, Shane. Let's stop talking about our awards.
All right.
You know, all the awards that we didn't win.
Careless whisper, Mike. Careless whisper. Let's get after it, you know? So this is Careless Whisper, Season 2, Episode 14. Canadian air date, January 3rd, 2003. U.S. air date, January 13th. 2003. The writers of this episode were Aaron Martin and Craig Cornell with the story. And Aaron Martin, because he's selfish and always needs to wear multiple hats, also did the teleplay. But we love him. I also love the beard that he has now. I'm sure you've seen his profile pic.
Burly.
Oh, it's amazing. It's very David Letterman and Santa Claus-y.
Yeah, you could nest in that. You could curl up in it.
You could. And I hope there's nothing actually nesting in it, but we'll have to ask him about that. This was also directed by Laurie Lind.
This episode, named after Careless Whisper, the 1984 hit by George Michael. Remember him?
Do.
The song is about guilt. It's about secrecy and hurting somebody because you're not being honest about who you are. That makes it a pretty perfect fit, I think, for what Marco is going through in this episode. He's struggling with his identity and he's trying to be somebody that he's not. And the song also happens to be one of the most iconic saxophone riffs of all time. I think it's like, you know, it's been used as a punchline several times and I'm not going to sing it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the one. Today we are talking about one of the most important episodes in early Degrassi history. Careless Whisper is a story about first crushes, first relationships, and the pressure to be someone you're not. This kicks off Marco as an iconic character. Mm-hmm. It's very cool to see, to dive into this story with Marco and meet him and really get into the storyline.
It was done very well. It was done tastefully. You could really, you could see that struggle of Marco coming to terms. I think he already knows, or he has a pretty good idea of who he is, but he's not ready to say it yet. Ellie is just confused and really wants him, and she doesn't have any idea until Ashley kind of puts that bug in her ear. And there are just so many awkward moments that I don't know if they were purposefully awkward or if it was just, I found a lot of the blocking and camera movements and placement of actors a little strange in this episode.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we'll talk about it, but that awkwardness just lent itself to any of those scenes between Adamo and Stacey. But yeah, let's get into it. I'm excited to talk.
Yes,
about it. Really enjoyed the episode.
Me too. Me too. Degrassi basketball court, golden hour. Very shirtless Spinner and a shirtless Sean shoot hoops with Jimmy and Marco, but Marco is distracted by their glistening pecs.
He's feeling more Sean's than Spinner's, I think.
Hey, don't shortchange yourself.
Okay. Well,
you were looking good out there, bro.
Fair enough. I'll follow this up with a story, but you go.
Okay, good, good, good. He's feeling the attraction, clearly. The guys tease Marco with homophobic slurs, and Marco bucks at this, but he's clearly still feeling the feelings when we roll the opening credits.
He did have some bedroom eyes that he could just not hide. It was like there was a warm breeze blowing in his face and he was just, you know, shaking his hair out. This was the episode that terrified me because I lost a lot of weight over the off season between one and two and then throughout season two. And I was worried that, I mean, Danny was really taking care of himself. He was really into working out. He used to talk about it all the time. Aubrey and I used to make fun of him behind his back all the time for it. And that's a different story.
Secret jealousy.
But yeah, but Danny was getting ripped and he was much more muscular in tone than I was. And this was where I asked my brother, who had a background in bodybuilding and personal training.
Oh, yeah.
What I could do for preparation to look a little bit tighter, because I was worried about like some sag, you know? And that's when he's like, well, our athletes, a lot of what they do the night before the show is they slather Preparation H all over their bodies and then they wrap themselves in plastic wrap. And then a garbage bag, and that's how they sleep, and they sweat all out.
That's how I sleep every night.
And that's what I did for that episode. And looking back, I think it was all right at the time.
It was great. I think it probably added to the glisten on your skin.
Yeah, I didn't wash it off.
But no, listen, I understand that would be really intimidating because also, as written, you know, you've got to be the object of desire. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you've got to be, you not only do you have to have your shirt off, but it's like slow mo. It's like the beach volleyball scene in Top Gun.
In Top Gun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They really
less
were
high
going
fives, but I know what you're going for.
Way less high fives.
I requested the aviators. They nixed it.
No. Well, we want to see your eyes.
Yeah. Your
beautiful, beautiful eyes. All right. After the credits, Ellie is dropping hints to Marco. Hopelessly, but he spots Jimmy and Spinner and runs off to meet them. He ditches Ellie so fast in this. It's like, I gotta go. My boys are here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ellie looks disappointed, and that is when Ashley rolls up. She's obviously seen the whole thing. What? No kiss goodbye? And Degrassi has this fun way of doing these kind of like sarcastic character, you know, like lines with characters where it says a lot. It does a lot of the heavy lifting. What? No kiss goodbye.
But I just found it so funny, like Ashley just inserting herself. No one was curious on her take, but she's like, hey. She's just there stirring up the poop, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I think she, you know, she's the older kid. She's always ready to pop in with sage wisdom to teach the younger generation about.
She's not older than Ellie.
Than Ellie?
Same
no.
Grade. No.
Really? It's weird because I just assumed Ellie was in a lower grade because she seems a little more naive than Ashley.
what I'm just realizing in this moment now is how I don't know how they got to this zone of friendship beyond the obvious when the intention was there from the get-go when they were doing that little cat and mouse game. Everything's out there on the table. So I don't understand why now there's a misunderstanding about what this actual thing is.
Yeah.
They aren't just friends anymore.
That is true. Like there's been love letters exchanged and he's kind of copped to it already. So I guess maybe I was thinking, okay, well, these things, they come and go, they wane, they change. Maybe he chalked this up to, oh, she'll just kind of move on. She'll just kind of forget about me.
Okay, yeah, or maybe she's been waiting for him to make a move and take it to the next level, and that's like the purgatory they find themselves in.
That's right where now. They are in the beginning of this. Yeah, she's like, so what about us being a thing? Although she has to ask if they're friends.
Yeah.
But that's more about like being friend-zoned, I guess.
Yeah, I have to remember that they're playing, I mean, we're 14 at this point, I think.
Yeah, nobody's got skills here.
No, and you're not expected to immediately, you know, be sexual in a 14-year-old relationship.
Yeah. Or even go out on a date, frankly. Totally. Like when I was that age, it was like I was still just like I'd be like to a friend, I'd say, oh, go tell their friend that I like them. And then they would. And then you'd like sit next to each other at lunch, but you'd barely say anything. And then you'd go and then you'd run away.
Yeah. I was a little bit just more advanced in that. How may I ask? And you could you know take.
I'm an open book. On this.
How old were you when you lost it, Mike?
Heck no! Get out of here. Next question.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was 15.
Wow, dude, that's
I was
young.
A baby.
That's really young, man.
I know. Looking back on it now. Yeah, I thought it was so cool, but you know, watching my nephews grow up and like that, I was having sex at that. No,
yeah,
but then I was also on TV at that, so
yeah,
it was not an ordinary existence.
Different life. You beat me. We'll just say that. But it was nice. It was a good experience.
And, so was mine.
Yeah, it was a nice good experience.
We did the candles and the. And
oh
the,
yeah, man! It was full romance, full romantic, and it was actually
Valentine's Day.
Oh, nice! Mm-hmm. It was a birthday. It was a birthday.
A birthday.
Yeah. It was
yours
like a happy
or
birthday.
Hers?
It was mine.
Nice.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
okay.
No, it was good. It was really good. It was cute. We loved each other. And it was very romantic.
Me too.
Good. All right. So in Mr. Simpson's class, Mr. Simpson is telling everybody that guess who's back? Dr. Sally. She's going to teach some more sex ed. Yay. To cover healthy sexual relationships, sexual identity, wink, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the whole episode is about.
Yeah, she winked at Marco specifically, right?
This is like, she?
On like, you.
Wink,
no,
wink, wink. Crash zoom on Marco's face. Spinner immediately throws out a derogatory comment about HIV, but Simpson smacks it down. Intolerance comes from ignorance, he says.
Mm-hmm. Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's funny. Simpson, I mean, he stands up for what's right, but then he also has no problem insulting students in front of the whole class.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you know, ignorance or stereotypes, whatever he said, comes from ignorance. So it's a good thing that you're attending this class.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Gavin.
Well, we are right into Dr. Sally's sex ed class. She pulls a wad of condoms out of her pocket. And when she mentioned same-sex relationships, Jimmy and Spinner chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Coach puts them on blast.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that Paige's brother is gay. She's basically coming out in defense, you know, of her brother and using.
She said that before, though.
She has, actually. This is the second time. So they're really laying a lot of ground to meet Dylan later on, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable at this point. It's like, well, he's got to be on the show.
Not necessarily. What if it went the Holly J route? I mean, Heather St. Clair.
Yeah, Heather St. Clair. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But she was never meant to be on the show.
We don't know if Dylan was ever meant to be on the show. Anyway, let's keep going.
I think there's a good chance they're leading up to it. They know where it's going. We learn that Paige's brother is gay, and a lively discussion follows about why people are gay. Dr. Sally ends by countering a comment about sin. Obviously, Terry is quite religious, asking which is the greater sin, being yourself or pretending to be someone you're not.
And then it zooms in on Marco's face again.
Totally.
I just laughed at the thought of any audience member watching this show and going like, I'm not picking up what they're putting down here.
Why do they keep cutting to Marco?
Why is he giving shifty eyes every time they mention something about?
Yeah, it's true. They're being extra clear, extra clear this episode. Yeah. Well, Toby is in class and he is staring. Actually, he's not in class. Toby is outside of Kendra's classroom, staring, burning a hole through her head, pretty much, while she's in computer lab, which is very embarrassing, clearly, to Kendra. She is trying to get him to leave, and it's dawning on her that Toby might be a little obsessed. Maybe this isn't quite so healthy.
It would have been cute if he did it once, just in passing, like, hey, and then, because she was excited at first, hey, but then he lingered. He lingered way too long. And then what? He's going to start making out with the glass? Come on, Toby.
He was steps away from that. It's funny because Toby, and again, wicked smart kid. He seems to have his finger on the pulse. He's wise beyond his years, but his heart is like his Achilles heel. He just falls head over heels. And
isn't that... everybody.
And his mind just shrinks. It disappears.
We're all so stupid when we're infatuated in love. The things that we'll let slide, the things that we won't see.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Seeing this, Mr. Simpson walks over to the glass window that Toby's on the other side of and shuts the blinds on him, which was funny.
Yes. Good riddance, Toby.
He's probably still standing there. Let's be honest. Sex ed class is over, and Ellie stays behind to ask Dr. Sally personally what to do about liking somebody who might not like you back. And Dr. Sally gives her the advice that, you know, guys are shy too sometimes. And she encourages Ellie to continue and to be brave and kind of just stick with it, kid. I think is broadly her advice. And she opts for this ultimately, which I give it to Ellie. She's smart and she does have guts. And she basically says, like, so what are we? Like, what is this really? She really comes at it pretty direct and just asks him outright. And that solves it.
Yep.
Sort of. We'll get there. Meanwhile, Marco, who is in the back of this classroom, is furiously copying down Dr. Sally's website from the chalkboard. As he leaves class, Spinner picks on him again, holding out a bag of feminine products for him to take, while Marco is fed up at Spinner's insults and he snaps at him, desperate to sort of fit in. Marco ups the ante. I hate f-ings. They make me sick. Jimmy is about to de-escalate when Marco storms off. And Jimmy really was like about to jump in there and be like, dude, we're just sorry. We're just like, you know, we're being dumb.
I even think that it looked like on Spinner's face as well that they were like, whoa, Marco, like,
calm down.
This is just a joke. Yeah, well, don't talk like that.
He's clearly kind of a whipping boy, and they're, you know, they've found the guy to tease because it's just too easy, I think, for them.
It's too easy. Yeah. And there's one in every group. There usually is.
And there's always a blow up. There's always the moment where
it always happens.
Where it turns. Yeah.
And then they just find another one.
And then everybody's like, or this, like that sort of, you know, there's that understanding and then things are different from that point. And then you're like, okay, cool. We know we can't push the buttons anymore, you know? Anyway, at lunch, Toby and Kendra hold hands, cute, while Toby talks about Kendra's eyes. Well, JT, who is there, it is finding it hard to be around all the public display of affection. So he's out. I actually love this little moment where he's like, no, 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 it's fine. And then he goes, actually, I'm lying. This is,
yeah, I can't even lie.
I can't even lie about this. Then Kendra says that to Toby that maybe they should cool it a little bit, you know, like it's getting a little intense too quickly. And Toby's response to that is whipping out a study schedule that he's devised for the both of them, complete with built-in study breaks where they can even spend even more private time together. Laying it on pretty thick.
I feel for the guy. He's trying to be sweet, you know? He's trying to help her do well in school, and he's, you know, setting a little time aside for himself.
Yeah.
He's head over heels, and he, like you said, it's kind of like earlier with the Jimmy Ashley situation.
Very similar story.
Always there. Yeah.
What is it with these clingy boys?
Boys be clinging, man.
Boys be clingy. So he's laying it on too thick, and Kendra finds an opportunity to peace out. She slinks away.
Yeah. JT, poor guy, he so desperately wants what Toby has. So it makes perfect sense that he's like, I can't third wheel here.
Oh, God, like, it's painful.
Oh, yeah.
And he really is a third wheel. I feel bad for JT because there's a lot actually in the show that constantly gets in between them, right? Like they're always bickering, whether it was the locker thing after the school, the combination of the schools. And then there's just been a lot of tension between them. And yeah, to see Toby getting with a girl, we've been there.
Yeah.
Quick story. My wife was originally, Mika was actually originally a third roommate at my place, but with me and my best friend. So that probably felt at some points we didn't date right away. It wasn't like that. We were friends first for a long while and roommates, and then eventually and then we got together. But I can imagine for my best friend that it was awkward, and I saw some of him in JT in this episode, let's just say.
How did that situation come about? Was it like just an open call for roommates? That's a bold move.
I know.
To move in.
We had a great apartment in Toronto. We loved it. One of my other best friends was moving out, and she was supposed to kind of like help us. Well, supposed to find a replacement. Mm-hmm. And we obviously wanted it to be somebody that we knew through like a friend of a friend, but she couldn't find anyone. We actually ended up going out on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Because so it was
bold
no
for
one.
A whole different reason.
Yeah, we were being super bold. So if you're listening, you could have been my roommate.
I don't mean you. I mean her.
Oh my God. Yeah.
To move in to an apartment with two straight guys.
Totally.
And everyone's single. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And also your wife is beautiful inside and out. So she's like, this could be a problem. But
oh no,
hey.
For sure. Like we interviewed her, but she was interviewing us more, you know? I just remember like trying not to come off.
She
like,
wasn't interviewing. She was auditioning.
Murderer. She was auditioning.
And you got the job. Buddy.
Well, and we were, and we were all in the film and TV industry. So we all kind of did know there were people to vet us, I guess. Okay. Right. But it felt very much like, anyway, it happened.
It's so funny. The reputation, like, don't worry. These guys are fine. They're not pigs. They're not, nothing's going to happen. And now she's your wife. And they're like, well, I guess it wasn't entirely accurate.
Maybe a little bit happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a great story.
The stuff of Hallmark cards. Anyway.
Fun stories. So Mr. Simpson talks film class now. I think this is the first time we've been in a film class in media studies.
Yeah.
Marco stays behind after the bell and punches Dr. Sally's website into the computer. He searches the sexual orientation page and he lands on the headline, "I might be gay. What do I do?" Just at that very moment, he hears Spinner and Jimmy walking in. And he's trying to quickly close the website, but the page, of course, is frozen and he can't see it. I mean, this was like, come on. We all know what that's like. I'm not going to go into detail there, but I think we all know what that's like. And just at the very last second, Marco manages to close the page right before the guys see the screen, and he tells them that he's going home. He'll see them tomorrow.
Mm.
Marco and Ellie are hanging out, and Marco is distracted. Poor Ellie asks if they're just friends, and Marco tells her he likes her and that they should go on a date. Ellie's ecstatic. Now, at the movie theater, they're watching some French romance. You can hear it in the background. Ellie makes a bold move, and she tries holding Marco's hand, but I think he starts to get uncomfortable because he pretends to sneeze so that he can move it away, and then he never replaces it, and Ellie notices that.
He didn't just not put it back. He folded his arms and kind of turned away from her a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was cold. I mean, at this point, I'm like, is this easier? Is this actually easier? I guess it is. I guess it is. She's clearly feeling dejected.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ashley sees Ellie the very next morning walking to school alone, and she asks about how the date went. Well, Ellie says that maybe turns out he doesn't like her that way. Ashley suggests that maybe he doesn't like girls, period. Mm-hmm. Ellie is shocked that Ashley would insinuate such a thing. And, you know, then Ashley starts talking about her own father and her own experience, her dad, who was in the closet for pretty much her whole life and just came out. But Ellie is not having it. She is convinced that Marco is straight. She is, I guess, just hoping for what she wants to be true.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's on her radar. But I mean, like at that age, a lot of people don't really know what to look for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are different strokes for different folks. Like some guys are just not touchy-feely and have some problems with intimacy.
Yep.
Especially like when you're that age and everyone's just kind of trying to figure it out. So I can understand why he would be in denial and why she wouldn't even entertain that possibility.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that, you know, this, it's just, we know that this is heading for a cliff, and it's hard to watch, but it happens. It happens a lot. And
it
takes me back to those moments. And like, I'm thankful that I went through them because they've made me who I am. And I learned a lot about myself and about other people, but it's hard to watch somebody go through something that you wish you could protect them from it, but you know that you can't because it would be a disservice to do that.
Right. They need to learn those hard lessons. But this one also, this isn't one of those someone liking someone and then falling out of like or love with them. This is something that is out of anyone's control, and you can't even be mad at a person for it.
Manny in the hallway is trying to tell Toby that decorating Kendra's locker like Cupid threw up all over it will make her feel smothered. Manny is right.
When did she become the guru?
Right?
She is not the expert here.
I know.
She was just in Toby's position with Craig.
That's true.
Half a season ago.
Well, anyway. Hey, maybe she learned from that. Maybe this is like a quick awakening for Manny, and she's figured it out. Because
fair enough.
This is a different Manny, you know.
But she didn't even get that explanation from Craig, right? She didn't.
No.
So
she worked it out on her own, and she came back, and now she's an expert.
Fair enough. But I just think if they were like going to have that other character show up there, a member of the opposite sex trying to educate Toby on what he's about to do, there could have been other choices aside from Manny.
True.
I just think, considering her history. But
I know. And well, Manny has like had a very big off camera maturing, because she in season one, she's like a little girl. But even in the beginning of this season on the date with Craig, she's like a little child.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
and suddenly, no, you're right. Suddenly in this moment, she is like, she's read every Cosmo magazine and
that's
been
right.
on multiple dates. Like, she's got this wisdom that just wasn't there before.
She's hanging out at the retirement homes and getting stories from
all the grandmas telling her everything. Right.
And where is Craig now that you mentioned the name?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in like 10 episodes.
Couldn't afford him.
He was at the wedding.
Couldn't afford him.
He was.
Yeah. Too expensive to put him on camera.
Damn you,
for
Jake.
So long. He got a really good contract. Okay. So when Kendra sees the locker, she goes cold, ripping a heart off just to get into her locker, just to be able to open the lock. And then she quickly runs off.
Well, shouldn't have blocked the lock with the... What did he expect to happen?
It was funny, though, when she grabs a piece of... She's like, wow, that's really nice, and, like, just rips a part of it.
Rips it, throws the gift inside, probably broke it, and then storms off.
Takes off, yeah.
And man, then, he's just...
Yeah. Told you so. Mm-hmm. Spinner calls Marco Marcy, and even... In the next scene, and even Jimmy is over it at this point, telling Spin to get new material. Marco boasts about his new girlfriend, Ellie, right, to make a point. Well, now the guys, they want to know more about this new girlfriend situation with Ellie. They want to know, like, how many bases he rounded last night at this so-called date. And Marco claims that they made out. Nobody is buying it. Spinner actually mutters liar under his breath.
Loser.
Oh, was it loser?
You're a bad liar.
Oh, yeah, loser. Yeah, that's right. You're a bad liar, loser. Both. Mm-hmm. And Marco is clearly hurt. There's nothing he can do to prove himself to these guys that he's straight, essentially. Mm.
I don't even think that the guys think that Marco is gay.
No, they don't.
I think they just think that he's a little beta. Right.
Yeah.
So I think they're just making fun of him for that. And the go to is like, you're gay,
which guys at that age do. And
that's right.
Although we're not condoning it, it's bad and it's homophobic. But I don't believe that they think he's gay and that they are making fun of him for that. I think they're doing what guys at that age who are ding dongs will do, you know, to like put their friends down.
Still not right.
No, still not great. Not good.
Yeah.
Not condoning that. That's bad. But I understand like what is happening here. It's not that they're, it's picking up on anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In the next class, and this is where our home ec teacher is now a guidance counselor doing an exercise about dreams and fears. And Toby has a great line about Kendra. Toby's moping, and he basically says, "My fear is Kendra hates me, and my hope is that I die."
Yeah.
This is his dark night of the soul, teenage despair arriving right on schedule.
And JT is just like, all right, calm down there, buddy.
Yeah, I would actually be angry if I was JT at this point and be like, you know what, dude? You've got a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're being way over the top about this.
Yeah, but also JT doesn't know either because he's never had a girlfriend.
Let's
see how cool he is when there's a hot and cold thing going on with his love interest later on. It's earth-shattering when you're starting to feel like a relationship is turned on you, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, and then you tighten up. You try to like control it more, and that looks way more
either
desperate.
You lean in or you pull back, and then it messes everything up that much more. And then everyone's playing a game. Love those games.
On the school steps, Sean joins the gang, chiding Marco again. And Marco sees Ellie in the distance. He decides, I'm going to show them. He makes a beeline for her, and he tells Ellie that he forgot something last night at the date. Then he leans in and starts kissing her. Mm-hmm. Spinner, Sean, and Jimmy hoot and holler. Ellie is touched. She's smitten. And he walks off with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so kind of weird. Like, great, I've done my job. See ya. I'm going to go back with the boys.
now I need to wash my lips because that was
disgusting.
Not a feeling.
That would have been cool, actually, to see him do something like that. Like,
it looks
like
way too soft.
God. Oh, not enough stubble. After her soccer game, Kendra approaches Toby, but he shrugs her off. Now he is doing the opposite thing. He's doing the sulking thing that guys are famous for.
Yeah.
Forget it. I'm smothering you. You don't want me. You don't like me. Kendra is confused. She never said that.
No, but I mean, their last interaction at the locker, I get, like, really stung Toby. And she seemed like she's like, this is, that was the last straw. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly she's, hey, Toby, hi. I would have probably walked on by her too, or I wouldn't have been all that receptive. That was like a very.
Well, he was hurt. I get it.
Yeah.
But her point is, you didn't hear me. You weren't listening. I didn't say I wanted to break up with you. I said, just cool it a bit. Like, give me a little breathing room.
Yes, but she did not communicate.
Well, she kind of did. She tried. He just didn't hear her because he was living in this illusion. He was like, you know when Degrassi does, you know, psychedelic romance scenes?
Vaseline.
The Vaseline on the lens. Stuff, like, yep. He is permanently in that scene right yeah. now. So everything she says is just like.
Once again, Toby, we feel you. We've all been there.
I've been there, man. I totally have. I get it. At Ashley's house now. Ooh, fun movie night. Marco has his arm around Ellie. They're watching a movie with Jimmy. Terry is there and a passed out spinner. Ashley brings in a pizza. Is this Jimmy's special pizza guy? I don't know. I wondered. Spinner makes another dig at Marco and Ellie this time. But Ellie holds her own against Spinner, saying, don't flatter yourself. Ellie motions for Marco to join her upstairs. And this is my favorite. This is the best part. Marco's like, huh?
He's not
picking up on the signal.
It was also like, I'll get a glass of water. No, I'll get it for you. No. It's fine. I'll get it. And then just walks right up the stairs. Doesn't even try to cover up this little side quest that he's on now. But
and do you remember what Ashley says?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, huh?
My kitchen was upstairs. And I swear, dude, that I told her to say that.
Really?
Like in my bones, I remember.
You added that line?
I remember saying like, I don't remember. You should probably say something like this. I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure.
We're
that
going
I
with
her
it.
To say that
written by Aaron Martin and Shane Kipple.
Yeah, that's right. No, Aaron. No. I'm not trying to steal any of your wit.
No, listen. Maybe it was. Who knows?
It's possible.
Possible. It was kind of collaborative in that sense. I mean, TV writers generally don't like their actors making up everything, but sometimes they ask you. Sometimes they're like, sometimes you ad lib and everybody laughs and it's great and it's fun and they want it. And then sometimes, you know, you kind of work with them a little bit, like they might come up to ask you what you want, what you might say and what feels right to say in that moment. It's a collaboration.
And sometimes they'll just be, nope, read the lines on
That's
the page,
right.
Monkey. Yeah.
Do it again, but don't say something else.
Yeah.
That's most of the time. Okay, we are up in the bedroom now. Ellie goes for it. Very bold. She starts kissing Marco. He says that he's into it. I like that Ellie also, you notice, she gets consent from Marco. She's like, are you cool with this? And he's like, yeah.
After she kissed him, though.
Yeah, true. But Ellie notices that he is shaking like a leaf. She asks him if he's okay. Again, she's not quite convinced. He's not. He doesn't look okay. If you like me, then kiss me. She asks if he's attracted to her, point blank. It's a simple question, but he cannot answer. Do you like girls at all? She tells him that if he likes boys, it's okay, but he needs to let her go.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Now she knows what the deal is. Marco struggles to find the right words. He wants to like her, but he's so confused. He's trying, but it doesn't matter. He can't change his feelings. Marco hangs his head. It's hopeless. He's trying to make everybody happy, and it's tearing Ellie apart.
I like that line that she throws at him where she makes that distinction, like, dude, do you think I'm attractive? And he's like, yeah, you're beautiful. She's like, no, that's not what, do you think I'm hot?
Yeah. That was a nice, because he loves her. He does care deeply about her. And I think that's part of the reason it was so hard for him is like, I do care about her so much. Like, she's my best friend, and that's part of it. I want the physical attraction to be there, but no matter how much he wills it, it's just not possible.
Yeah. And even to him, he might go like, yeah, I think this is confusing because I really like her and she is beautiful. So why isn't there anything like going on here? You know?
Totes. It's tearing her apart. Toby,
both of them apart.
Yeah, it really is. But at least in this scene, they finally say the thing. They finally say it. It's on the table. They know what the deal is. Now we just got to figure out how they're gonna,
negotiate
and it.
It's tough for Marco too. Like, we want to think that, I mean, as the observers, that Ellie is the safe place for him. But he doesn't know if he plays into her hand here and admits that maybe he's not into girls at all, that she's not going to get angry and then start telling people that. So it's a very bold move on his part.
True.
Obviously, like at any point to come out, like to do a soft launch or a hard launch on coming out of the closet. But yeah, it's hats off to him. If you're not ready. Yeah.
But he trusts her. And that's what we see here. I think we see that he does trust her and he's going to give her the benefit of the doubt. And she deserves it because I do think she's sweet and she cares and she can be trusted.
And it was great how she's like, listen, I'll be with you for this, but I can't it can't stay like this forever, but I'll help you. Like, I'll do whatever you need me to do. That we would all be lucky to have a friend like that.
Totally. We'll get there. Toby is pulling pictures of Kendra off his locker angrily, telling JT he should have known better. He's feeling so sorry for himself. Kendra interrupts the pity party and she means business. She is tired of Toby answering for her. She loves being around him, just not all the bloody time. Then she plants a big one on his lips. Toby is back up on cloud nine.
Toby should have known better from watching Ashley and Jimmy. He was right there.
He was the whole time. You're right.
She heard, Toby heard everything that Ashley said about how she felt about that.
I know. He even confronted Jimmy about it.
Yeah.
Dude, he gave Jimmy this advice that he cannot take himself.
Look, we can hang with Degrassi fans now. We're invested.
I get it. I know Toby. Yeah. I know who Toby is. And this but I do chalk it up to him just being in love. When you're in love, can you, like, who can take their own advice, really? Like,
nobody.
No one takes
their own advice. It doesn't even have to be about love. No one ever takes their own advice, ever. No.
At Marco's locker, Spinner and Jimmy want the dish. What happened upstairs last night? Marco plays it up, pretending he's excited and that lots happened when Ellie shows up. She's heard everything.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You really got to turn around before you start talking, making up lies in a school hallway. You know what I mean? Marco freezes. She knows what's up, that he's lying basically to not have to admit, you know, that he's gay. And so she ends up going along with it. She plays right in, which I love this nice little twist here. You should be totally jealous, she says, kissing Marco to prove that he's telling the truth. Spin and Jimmy, totally satisfied with this. Yep. Whoa, cool.
Everything seems in order here.
Yep. Okay. And then they leave. And then Marco
grew a beard.
And then Marco thanks her humbly for what she did. Ellie says that he can't hide this forever. And he knows that. She thinks he should check out the gay youth group. but he's not quite ready to do that yet. When he is, she says, she'll be there for him. They hug, and on Marco, smiling, grateful for their friendship, and maybe a little less alone, we freeze.
Cute moment.
Cute moment. It was a nice moment of good friends becoming even deeper friends.
Mm-hmm. Not the kind of deep that she wanted, though.
Not the deep she wanted. But, like, I think Ellie is actually mature enough that she knows, look, there's plenty of fish in the sea. She seems very elevated.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that can do a number on a person, too, if the first person you actually like ends up not even being into your gender.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have trust issues with liking people or your own, you know, radar things like this.
I've definitely liked people who are gay, and I didn't know it.
I've dated someone that ended up coming out after.
So there you go.
Many years after, but I guess you could say the same thing.
I guess it's the same thing as, like, somebody just not liking you, but it feels a little different. It could, I mean, it's tragic. Ellie is a tragic character in this. That's the thing, right? We all know what's happening, except for her. And so, it feels like watching a car accident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Degrassi is preparing me for having teenage children but I don't know if it's going to make it easier watching them go through the same
stuff. As you said, they need to go through those struggles on their own. They have to learn it. If you spend your whole life taking the advice from the more learned and avoid all of those landmines, and you never learn the really, you know, important lessons.
Yeah.
Right.
I am not wise. I think that this is, like, the definition. I don't think so. Cause, like, the definition of wisdom is being able to project into the future and changing what you're doing now because you know where you'll end up. But me, I've always had to learn my hard lessons by going through it.
Yeah, well, I think the wisdom would be more of, like, not repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you're doing that. Well,
no,
if that's the measure of being wise, I am also not wise at all.
Yeah. I want more wisdom. But no, truly. But I do think there are things that you just can't know unless you go through them. And other people, relationships with other people, is definitely something you can read all the books and articles you want on it, and you're still going to have to go through it. We're all going to have our hearts broken, really.
Yep.
And it sucks, but it's just, that's part of the journey, man.
Multiple times.
Anyways, that is the episode. I really like this episode. We love hearing from you guys. Hit us up at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. And we get a lot of questions. We've got a Discord as well. Find us, Dgrads Alumni at Discord. And we've got some cool questions this week. Shall we get into them?
I think we shall.
Okay, this one is from Kimmy W. Kimmy says, you guys talked about Mr. Radich's role and interactions in Don't Believe the Hype and the way he interacted with Hazel, and we'll see it again with Emma, leading to my question: did you guys ever get in trouble in school? If so, what happened? I was perfect. I was a perfect student. I didn't do anything bad. But Shannon, I know you got an answer for this.
No, I was actually a good student too. I had a good relationship with the faculty. I was charming. You know?
Are you kidding me right now? You don't have anything?
No, I mean, like, I might have had a detention or two, but I never...
For
I
what?
I don't remember being sent to the principal's office, except for, like, maybe being part of something where a couple of us during recess or something got hurt, and then we had to answer for our stupidity. But not... Not that I remember.
Damn.
Not lying.
I can't even believe that. I feel like there's okay. All right. Truth?
You?
And this is shameful. Do we have kids watching? No, our fans are older. I skipped a lot of my last year of high school. And the reason I skipped was because I started acting. I got an agent. I was going to auditions constantly. I mean, you remember what it was like. It was like 2-3 auditions a week sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I would I went to an arts high school and I took that as a license to, hey, I'm just doing my craft, you know, like I'm in an arts high school to be an artist. And so I'm just going to skip school and go to these auditions. Now, I did skip school to hang out with people and to do bad things and, you know, all that stuff as well. And there was one class I always missed, society, with my teacher, Mr. Eklund, rest in peace. He passed away a few years ago, but Mr. Eklund, and I was never in this class. One day I went in and he was like, where the heck have you been? And I was like, I've been acting. I'm sorry, sir. I've been acting. And he was like, yeah, right. Total BS. And then started to be that thing where I skipped too much of it that I couldn't, I felt like I couldn't show my face there anymore.
Yeah.
And then I shot a commercial for a commercial for a car company where we had these monologues that we had to recite and whatever. And we were shooting it in this parking lot in Toronto. And I remember being on set in front of my trailer dressing room, like rehearsing it. And this car pulls up and I noticed that the guy in the driver's seat is my teacher. It's Mr. Eklund. And I'm like, Mr. Eklund? I thought he had like stalked me to this to parking lot. And he was like, Mr. LaBelle, you weren't in my class this morning. And I was like, well, I'm acting. I'm working right now. And he looked at like all the movie trucks and the trailers and the crew and stuff. He was dropping his daughter off at like the subway, basically. It was lunch break. He had taken her out for lunch. It was a nice thing to do. And I had missed his class that day, but I was doing it. And he never bothered me after that.
He's like, maybe this kid was telling the truth the whole time.
Yeah. And I don't like being called a liar in front of the class. So that bothered me.
Even when you are full out lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like if that's going to be the metric of like not being the best in school, then yes, like having a built-in excuse. I didn't go to an art school, so it wasn't on any of the faculty's radar of like how often I would be filming, how long I would actually be away. Yeah, so I could like skip whenever I wanted to and just let them know when I got back. It was a heavy day of filming, heavy week of filming. Didn't know, but I never got caught for it.
Well, thanks for that question, Kimmy. That really took me back. Okay, we got one from Degrassi Vault. They say, listening to the Degrads podcast unlocked a memory for me. I completely forgot that the N actually edited out the scene in White Wedding where Caitlin inhales the helium balloon during broadcasts / reruns. Since the N almost always aired White Wedding as the full hour-long special instead of separate parts, I never realized the original episode even had that scene until season 2 DVD release. How are they going to cut that scene? That was my favorite little ad-lib moment.
Were they cutting it for time, or were they cutting it like we can't have women inhaling helium balloons?
Well, I read a little further, and this is not me. This is according to Degrassi Vault, because they go in to discuss this with a few people on our Discord, saying it probably was because they didn't want any imitatable behavior for young kids.
But Joey and Manny were doing it.
That's right.
Unless she meant that no one was inhaling helium balloons. She meant that whole scene was gone.
I think it was the whole scene gone, yeah.
Oh, if the whole scene was gone, then imitatable behavior. Yeah. Like inhaling helium is fun, but it's dangerous.
Is it actually dangerous?
It's dangerous, yeah. It replaces, from what I remember, the oxygen in your head. And you could, if you do too much, you could have it.
What do those saturation divers breathe when they're way down at depth?
Nitrogen.
Oh, right. Okay. Because that makes them talk like chipmunks also.
No.
Yeah, they talk like chipmunks. So. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're not supposed to, from everything I know, you're not supposed to be inhaling pure nitrogen. You have two tanks. If you're diving really deep, you're mixing nitrogen with oxygen.
Yeah. I guess it's still like maybe heavier or something and it compresses your lungs. So that's your voice pitch goes up. I don't know. I think it would be lighter,
and nitrogen is a lighter element than the oxygen.
All right. What are you, a pilot? Get out of here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Degrassi Vault. And our last one is from Miss Tiny. Not Degrassi related, but are you guys into the World Cup? How do you feel that Canada is going to be in the group? It is World Cup fever right now. There's like 25 games on every hour. You don't care?
This guy could care less.
It's the beautiful game.
Sure.
All right. I love it. I saw the last game. I mean, it was a rout. I actually felt bad for, who are we playing, Qatar? It was like 6-0. I've never seen a soccer score 6-0 before. I don't watch soccer. 6-0
against Canada?
No, 6-0 for.
For Canada.
Yeah, man. We racked up some serious points in the last game.
Wow.
I'm excited. We're excited. We're very proud. Even Shane is a little proud of Team Canada. So we're just hoping for good things. But thanks for that, Ms. Teeny.
Don't group me into your
Miss Tiny.
Here,
dude, I don't even watch football.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah, man.
That's going
to
do it.
That's all she wrote, folks. We're happy to be back.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, sorry for that very long break. It was unexpected, and I keep over-promising that it's never going to happen again. But as Mike and I keep finding out, because we're becoming wise, and you should be wise to our act here as well, we just don't know what's coming around the bend, and that's life happens sometimes. So we do apologize.
But we are sweating it. Every hour that passes, we are thinking of you and waiting to get back to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you for bearing with us. And hopefully you had a prosperous and fun and interesting break from D-Grads. But we're back to bother you until the next break.
Yeah. Tell us about what you got up to on your break.
Yeah. In the comments, please.
I know some people said they finally had a chance to catch up to the back episodes of our podcast. So that's good.
Yeah. Which is good, which is good. There's a whole catalog there now. But yes, hopefully you did enjoy your break and you got up to some fun stuff. We do have some cool guests lined up. And we just got confirmation that Mr. JT York, Ryan Cooley, will be joining us for our next episode, Hot for Teacher. Hot off the presses here, guys.
Ryan Cooley. This is the guest that I wanted for.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very excited for Ryan. No offense to any of the other guests we have, but we're bored of you already. We want haven't seen Ryan in 20 years. So that will be great to talk to him. What better a time to subscribe to Patreon and get the video episodes and see Ryan Cooley in the flesh. Until then, you decide on that. Mike and I will go do our things. This has been another episode of the D-Grads podcast with Shane Kipple and Mike LaBelle. And we will see you with a guest next week.
See you next week.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.